Okay. Good evening. So we last at the end of last week we ended with the discussion about playing with things such as marbles or the like on the ground on Shabbos, where the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Lamed Chesif Hey says that one is not allowed to do that. One is not allowed to play with. It talks about it goes in playing with walnuts. That you're not allowed to play with that on the ground. The reason being that when one does play with these things, they want to have a smooth surface, a smooth playing field, and they may be led to smoothing out the ground in order to be able to play properly without interference. And that, of course, would be an issur to smooth out the ground, is what we've been talking about the past couple of weeks, that it's a choresh, it's an issur of if it's outdoors, it's choresh, if it's indoors on a dirt floor, a boneh, but improving the ground, whether for residential purposes or whether for planting purposes, is considered a malach on Shabbos. So I just want to go back to that for a minute. First of all, we mentioned that nowadays that the houses are primarily not dirt floors. Most people's houses are covered with whatever it may be, tiling or linoleum or wood paneling. So we talked about whether that allows you to sweep and whether it allows you to wash the floor. So there's a discussion also, does that allow you to play these games on the floor? Are you allowed to now play with marbles on the floor as long as you have tiles or, you know, some other flooring material? So we said that a number of the Achronim say it does not. The Shvis is a Shabbos, and the Ksos HaShulchan say no, because that only works for things like sweeping, where you sweep indoors, and people understand there's a difference between sweeping indoors and sweeping outdoors. But playing a game, you might want to play the game outdoors just as much as indoors. So the fact that most of the indoor surfaces, most of the indoor floors are covered, doesn't, according to these Achronim, doesn't allow a person to go ahead and play on the floor, because we don't just judge by the indoor floors. We judge by all floor surfaces which you may theoretically play on, and that includes the outdoors. And if we include the outdoors, it's mostly not, you know, covered. So this is what these Achronim say, and some of the Poskim, you know, contemporary Poskim Poskim like that. Others say that no, that it is okay. It is okay nowadays to play, as long as you play indoors on a covered floor, it is okay. It's just so two things. Parenthetically, I saw in the Sefer 39 Malachas from Rabbi Ribi at the something which I thought was a chiddush, but he thinks it's pashut. He writes there that the whole shaila is only by games that you mamash roll things on the floor, like, I guess, marbles. I don't know. I don't think I ever played marbles, but I guess you roll them on the floor. Or he's understanding that's the case of the Shulchan Aruch, that Ein Socha Kin Begozim, they would roll them on the floor, which, yeah, I understand, fine. I'm not disagreeing with that. But he says games like what they call, you know, Chamesh Avanim or Kugelach, when you have these, you know, these little copper cubes, five cubes, that and you have to, I don't know, throw one up and grab them and things like that. He says that's not an issue. That's for sure okay. So that was never part of it. That was never part of the Gzeira, because you don't roll it on the floor. Or jacks. He talks about jacks as well. That there's no problem playing jacks on the floor, because they don't roll on the floor. You play on the floor, but you don't roll them on the floor. I thought that was a very big chiddush, because I mean, Shulchan Aruch doesn't say roll. I mean, it says ein socha kim be'egozim v'lo b'tapuchim v'kayotzi bo mishim ashvi gumos. I certainly would think that a person is playing jacks, or I'm not sure I've ever played jacks either, but
you bounce it, so you're gonna want to smooth surface. So
yeah, okay. I would seem passionate that you need that you definitely want a smooth surface for these games. And you, I mean, if you're playing that Kugelach game also, if there are, you know, if there are like depressions in the ground, it's not so. So it seems to me that it's passionate that should be included in the Yisur, and then in the mail in the Shaila, whether nowadays it's permissible or not because the floors are covered, it should be the same Shaila. Okay, but besides that, we ended up and mentioned that playing soccer is for sure not okay, at least not outdoors, because even if you're talking about on a paved surface or asphalt or whatever it is, it's still not okay because rove of the surfaces outdoors are not covered, and therefore we say karka bekarka michlif. So I just wanted to mention that I know I said this. I said this in one sentence also last week, but I want to go back to it, that the whole idea of playing ball on Shabbos is not a davar pashut. Well, first of all, even mitzad halacha, there's even a shaila, pure halacha, in Simen Shin Ches, which is Hilchas Muktzah, the end, towards the end of Simen Shin Ches, it's, let's get the exact sif here, Sif Memhei, the Mechaber says, Asur Lischok b'Shabbos v'yantiv b'chador. One is not allowed to play on Shabbos v'yantiv with a kador. What's a kador? A ball. Now, he's talking mitzad muksa. The Mishnah Berurah explains this, the sheet of the Mechaber, She'ein shleim keli olav. It's not called a keli, machma sharoi lischok bo. The fact that it's suitable for playing, that doesn't give it a shame keli. No, you're starting with something which is, you know, wasn't an official ball. It was some paper that they crumbled up or so, whatever it is, and made it into like a ball type of thing. So that doesn't give it a shame, Kaylee. The Havi Ke'evin, Shu Muksum Igufo. It's Mamish Muksum Igufo, according to the Mechaber. You can't even move it at all. Then the Ramah brings, V'yesh Matirin. There are those that permit this. V'nogu Lahakel. The minig is to be Mekel and not to consider it Muksa. That's what the Ramah says. Okay, now, so though on the surface we have a machlokas, machab and ramah, if a ball's even muksa. Okay, so the ramah says it's not muksa, and we Ashkenazic Jews passing like the ramah. But it is worthy noting that according to the machaber it's muksa. But to be honest, I did see in the Sefer Shvus Yitzchak, B'Shem Rabbi Yashiv, and then I just now saw the Chutshani, I think it was the Chutshani. Yeah, I think the Chutshani. One second. I think it's Chutshani. I'm not sure. So I think there's a couple of from some other sefer. I think says the same thing, and that is that that this is not talking about something that was manufactured as a ball. This is talking about like you took something, which was whatever it was, some paper or wood or something, and you using it as a ball. So it was muksa to begin with. It was something that was muksa to begin with. It wasn't a keli. So the fact that you're designating it as a ball doesn't give it a shame keli. That hishtamshus, that use, isn't sufficient to take off the shame muksa. But if a ball that was like nowadays, a ball that was made in a factory as a ball, it wasn't just something muksa which you decided to convert into a ball. It's from its very the very outset, from day one, it was a ball. It was never anything but a ball. It was manufactured as a mischak, something to play with. That's for sure not muksa. Even the mechaber would agree that's not muksa. He's only talking about saying that was muksa, and you want to, because something's muksa, in order to make it not muksa, you have to be miyachin as a keli. So the mechaber may hold that this hishtamshus, like I said, is not enough of a yichud to make it a keli. But if it's a ball, it's a ball. Okay. But all that having been said, it is broad, and the Beis Yosef brings it here, and the Aruch HaShulchan brings it down, and others do as well, that the Beis Yosef says, I found in a Medrash that a certain city, I think Tur Malka, was destroyed. Why was that whole city destroyed? Because they played ball on Shabbos. And he brings, I think, two quotes like this for the Medrash. And the point being that even beyond putting aside the shaila of whether it's actually muktzah or not, and the other shailas that could play, even if a person is playing ball, certainly you have to take consideration the fact that if there's no eruv outside, you can't take a ball outside, you can't, or even if there's a ball outside, you can't throw it or you know, play with it outside. But putting all that aside, the whole idea of wasting one's Shabbos, precious hours of Shabbos, on ball playing is considered something extremely, extremely negative. Akadekach, that certain locations were forfeited their right to exist because that the whole city, the whole area was destroyed because of that. And we can understand that the idea of Shabbos is besides that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested on Shabbos and completed all his malach and no longer did malach, and therefore we don't do malacha. But the idea of Shabbos also is that it's supposed to be set aside as a day of Kedusha. Shabbos has a elevated status of Kedusha. Kadosh Baruch Hu instilled Shabbos with bracha and with Kedusha, and Shabbos is a day where it's considered the bazug, like the partner of Klal Yisrael, an opportunity for a person to take a step back from work that he has to be involved in all week long, and is able to be more contemplative on machovasu shaladim balama, what's purpose of being in this world, and developing or fostering furthering a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, becoming close to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, spending more time on davening, and certainly spending more time on learning, and being involved in yani ruchnias, in yani that are things that further a person's the purpose of a person's existence, rather than things which are essentially just uses of time without any without deriving any benefit, any real gain from it. And I want to mention I heard this in the Rosh Kol in Chicago of David Zucker, and he has it's also in one of his Sfarim Ataras Tudam, that Rav Elie Lapian says that he once spent the Shabbos with the Chavetz Chaim, and Chavetz Chaim said that when Chazal say Gedola Shabbos is shkul k'neged kol mitzvahs, Shabbos is shakul, Shabbos is equal to all the mitzvahs, and so the Chavetz Chaim said on that they're just like Shabbos, meaning in Shmira Shabbos is shakul k'neged kol mitzvahs. So every mitzvah that's done on Shabbos is shakul k'neged kol mitzvahs. Meaning, if you do Mekayim Mitzvah Tzitzis on Shabbos, it's worth 613. It's Shokol Kenegad Kol HaMitzvahs. If you put all the mitzvahs on one scale, and all the mitzvahs you do, all the 613 mitzvahs done on a Tuesday, and one mitzvah done on a Shabbos, and it's a Shokol Kenegad, it at least evens out Kenegad Kol HaMitzvahs. So you do one mitzvah on Shabbos, you get credit, Kiel, you do Taryag Mitzvahs. So, said the Chavetz Chaim, therefore, if you learn, you'll learn a word of Torah on Shabbos, because the Chavetz Chaim is famous. It's from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says in Shnos Eliyahu Maseches Peah, on the Mishnah we say every morning, Eilu Dvarim She'en Lam Shir HaPeah V'Bikur V'Rin Gilas V'Chasnim Salmu Torah, right? Eilu Dvarim She'en Lam Shir, Talmud Torah is one of the things She'en Lam Shir. And the Vilna Gaon says in his Peah Rishon on that Mishnah that one word of learning is Shakol Keneged Kol HaMitzvahs. One word of Torah. So I saw Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes, this is, I'm pretty sure, in this is Emes Liakov on Pirkei Avos, which was put out by, I believe it was put out years ago by Yeshiva in Muncie. They bring up from, I think it's over there, Hakdama, for Rabbi Yaakov writes Hakdama to Pirkei Avos, and in that, he says that, every word of Torah is worth, you Mekai Mitz with every word. So if you're writing it, let's say you're writing a Shtukal Torah, you're writing a piece of Torah, so should you try to be more, more wordy, right? Instead of writing, usually we write, you're supposed to try to be concise and write things in the most, get to the point, make it as clear but as concise as you can. Maybe in learning you should do the opposite and just, add more words in, and every word is a, say Rabbi Yaakov says, it depends. Extra word, it's not true, but extra word. I mean, if a word of learning which is needed to bring out the point, a word of clarification, a word of, words that are needed in order to make your point, and to each word is connected, is a mitzvah b'nei asma, but is a mitzvah Talmud Torah, but not if you use extra words. But al kapanim, every word of ikra learning, like talking right now, and you're listening, every single word of learning is a mitzvah b'nei asma, and so says the Chavetz Chaim, on Shabbos, every word of learning is worth 613. So you sit and learn, imagine, you learn a blot of Gemara on Shabbos, so you spend an hour learning on Shabbos, whatever it is, whether you're learning a blot of Gemara, or you're learning Mishnah, so you're learning, forget about blot, you're learning a piece of Gemara with the Rashi, and with the Tosis, and with the Pnei Yeshua, and the Rashba, every word of learning is Keneged Kol HaMitzvahs. And I think Rav Elie Lapian added the hair that to begin with, Torah is shakel, Talmud Torah connected kulam. So every word of learning, even during the week, is connected 613. And then on Shabbos, it's 613 times that. So it's 613 times 613 for every single word. And so the Chabad Chaim says you could say 200 words of learning in 1 minute. The Chabad Chaim says, right? That's what he means, Chabad Chaim. He was talking about, he was trying to encourage people not to waste time smoking. This was before they started telling people not to sacrifice their health or risk their health and their life smoking. But before that, Chabad Chaim said, stop wasting your time smoking, because to smoke, they used to have to create take tobacco and paper and roll it. And, you know, Chabad Chaim says, you know how much learning you could do in the time it takes you to make one cigarette? That was his argument against smoking back then. And he said, you can learn 200 words in 1 minute, and it all goes up in smoke instead. Okay, so anyway, so Shabbos, I imagine, you know, it's brought that Rav Elie Lapian, after he heard this from the Chabad Chaim, he was extra nizer on Shabbos. He would make sure to speak at his table, say different Torah at his table, as, you know, which I'm sure he did till then as well. But you know, take every advantage and every opportunity. And you're in shul and you're waiting for something. I don't know. You come 5 minutes early for mincha. So open the siddur, even to Pirkei, open to Pirkei Avos, and even if it's not the summer month, and learn a Mishnah Pirkei Avos, and learn whatever. You take learn one Mishnah, and you had 30 seconds before mincha, and you learn one Mishnah. Imagine the mitzvahs you get for that, and the schar you get for that. So that's what Shabbos is meant for, and certainly not meant for spending on ball playing and everything. So felt that we were discussing the specific halacha about how it applies nowadays to playing on the floor, but it's important to have this perspective on it. Okay. So I want to move on now a little bit to some discussion of some halachas of the malacha of Zoreya, of planting or sowing on Shabbos, not sowing, not S-E-W, but S-O-W-I-N-G, planting on Shabbos. Now, Zoreya, first of all, is an interesting malacha from the following perspective. L'chara, you could argue that it's impossible. How could you ever be chayiv for planting on Shabbos? If planting means that you have to throw the seeds down, and they have to take root, because if you might argue just throwing a seed down on the ground, excuse me, if it never takes root, then what did you do?
Like,
what are you saying?
you're
saying grum, but maybe even less than grum. If it never, let's say it never takes root, let's say it never grows, so arguably you did nothing. You didn't plant anything. Nothing was, and the word zoreya, nothing was nizra. And if that's the truth, so if nothing grows on Shabbos, or if it doesn't take root on Shabbos, lachara, one could argue that you didn't do any yisur. So the question would be twofold. First of all, let's say you threw seeds down on the ground, and you swept them away before they took root, even before they were nishrash, before they developed any roots in the ground. Did you do anything wrong? Did you do any yisur? And the other way around, let's say you put seeds down and you left them there, but it didn't grow, but eventually it grew after Shabbos. So is that going to make a difference? Is that going to be relevant or not? Now, so we'll try to clarify. So there's a clear Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Dalid with regard to the malacha of baking, of ofeh. It's mafurish in the Gemara that if a person puts bread into the oven to bake, and it's removed from the oven, whether by him or by anybody else, before it bakes, before it reaches even the earliest stages of baking, before it begins to develop a crust, he's pater. He was not Machal Shabbos. Lamafreya, he did the wrong thing by putting it there. But it turns out that it never evolved into a malacha, and he would not be chayav anything for that.
Even if the temperature reached to Yetzirah Edmo.
As long as it didn't crust. We're thinking about it as a solid food. As long as it didn't, the bread didn't develop a crust. Yeah, it's called karmapanav. And that's mefurish in the Gemara, because the Gemara talks about if somebody did that, if somebody put in bread, are you allowed to remove it on Shabbos, the person himself or others? Because normally, in the time of Chazal, even removing bread from the oven was an isser. Because the way the ovens work, the bread would be like pasted against the side of the oven. And there was an isser, what's called radias hapas, scraping it off the wall was an isser. But the Gemara is a shayla. But if you don't, but let's say a person put it up to bake on Shabbos, maybe whether he forgot or he didn't forget, but he did it. So if you're not going to scrape it off, it's going to bake. He's going to be chayiv chatas. He's going to be chayav, or a chayav skila if he did it on purpose. And there, because this, as we've spoken out, we don't consider this melacha grama. Every time you cook, it's theoretically grama. I mean, you just put a pot down on the fire and then that's it. You walk away, and what did you do? You just put one thing next to the other, and then eventually the fire cooks it. But that's for sure the melacha of bishul or ofeh. So if you leave it there, if it stays there and it bakes, he'll be chayav skila. If he did it on purpose, chayav chatz, if he did it by mistake. So are you allowed to remove it on Shabbos? So the Gemara comes out that the person himself is allowed to remove it. Halacha ma'aseh, we pass in Siman Reish Nadal, the person himself is allowed to remove it, but nobody, someone else is not allowed to remove it. But okay, but you see, by removing it, you save his he saves himself from an iser. So the Rishash says same thing by planting. If you put seeds down and you take them away before they take root, you did nothing wrong. And the truth is, Rishash is not alone in this. Before the Rishash, there's a Kol Gadol from the Maram Chaviv, one of the Achronim, where he says the same thing. Maram Chaviv clears the Shaila first. And what's the Shaila based on? It's based on that the Gemara says in Gemara Baba Metzia, says that it was talking about the halachas of ona. It's interesting. The whole Torah is connected. The one thing. We're talking about ona. What's ona? Ona is overcharging, right? Chashemish, but talking about the issue of overcharging a person for selling goods. So there's an issue. If I sell you seeds, I sell you a packet of seeds which you could use to plant and grow whatever it is, but I overcharge you by based on more than a six or more. Ona, right? That's the halacha. You overcharge a person with six or more. Is ona. So if I charge you, if I sell you seeds and I overcharge you, is there ona? You could, whatever halach is, you could get your money back, or you could get the difference back, or cancel a sale, whatever halach is ona. But there's no ona on karka. On land, there's no ona because the price varies so much on land. It's hard to say this is the price, and he charges six more. What's called a six more? This guy's selling his piece of property. He's putting up for sale for $650,000, and he might end up settling for $400,000. So, which is quite a difference. So there's no ona on karkos. Some say if it's 50%, maybe there, but. Okay, so the Gemara is a Shaila. If you plant seeds in the ground, if you place seeds in the ground, and you sell it that way, is there ona? Because they're no longer just seeds; they're in the ground now. So maybe we look at it like the din of ein ona bekarkos, and took me up with that. They didn't take root. You just put seeds in the ground. So do we say already that there's ein ona bekarkos or not? Or there's a couple of similar halachas. Oh, the Gabi Shvua, right? The Gabi Shvua, the din is that Ein Nishpan al Karkos, right? Anyone's learned Bava Metzia, or probably any one of the Nezikin Masechtas, you come across this, you have to come across this. Ein Nishpan al Karkos. You don't take a Shvua in Karka. It's learned from a pasuk. So what about seeds that are in the ground?
How did the person make a kinyan on the seeds?
In the case of another,
right? In the case of here, wouldn't it be on the seed?
If they're in the ground already,
right?
You can make a kinyan chalipin.
Aren't there a certain type of kinyan the only that we need?
Yeah, so chalipin should work.
So then would that be considered then that part of the ground? That's it.
Why? But chalipin could work either way.
Okay.
I think so. Okay, so the Gabi Shvua, so the Gemara is a Shaila, do we say once it's in the ground, in the Shpal Kakos? So based on that, there's the Maram Chaviv is Mesupik, that you see the Gemara considers seeds in the ground, at least the Gemara is a tzad to say it's already considered bottles in the ground, so maybe you're Chayiv on Shabbos just for putting the seeds in the ground, just for, or spreading the seeds onto the ground, even if they didn't take, even they weren't Mashrish, even they didn't take root, perhaps you're Chayiv for that. And Memele, it wouldn't help to take them away. But his maskana is not like that. His maskana is, just like the Rishash's maskana was years later, that that if you take them away before they take root, you're not over anything. This is the sheet of the Rishash and the Maram Chaviv.
Well, yes. It's super weird, because if it takes 3 weeks to develop the roots, the person is going to be hayav in 3 weeks.
Well, according to what they're saying, I mean, you don't be chayiv if it eventually grew. Well, that doesn't need, I mean, I think the Gemara says it takes 3 days, but whatever it is, it's after Shabbos.
And how do you take in account the intentions? Like a big part of it is the intention.
Yeah, he intended to grow something.
Okay.
He's b'chal Shabbos. Yeah. Okay, so that's that would be even though it takes root later, he's chayiv. But if he does something to stop it from ever taking root, it could be the Maran Chaviv might hold that as long as you Shabbos ended, you didn't do anything to reverse your action, maybe you're chayiv. The Rishash though, L'chor holds not like that, because the Rishash learns that it's you're only chayiv if it eventually grows, and therefore he says the same thing by Shabbos. When you put up something to cook, even if you put it up close to the end of Shabbos, so that it's not shayach to cook on Shabbos, or can't even get, let's say put it liquid where it's Yatsa lettuce, bro. It can't even get to Yatsa lettuce, bro, on Shabbos, but it gets there eventually. You're chayiv for that. You're still chayiv. You're chayiv for putting it up to cook on Shabbos. Others would say, no, that if you put it up, it's late in the day where it can't cook on Shabbos, so then that's, you didn't do a malacha. But the Rishash, who learns that, by Zroim, just by putting it down on the ground, is the putting them on the ground alone is not the malacha. The malacha is that they eventually grow. So obviously the malacha needs the weekday to supplement it. So the same thing is true by cooking. That's what he says. Okay. Many others are cholik though. There are many who say the opposite of this Maram Chaviv and this Rishash. Amongst them the halachas ketanos, shalosh halachas ketanos. And amongst them also the Ar Sameach. Ar Sameach is from the Gedolei Europe, from before the war, Mer Simcha and Dvinsk. The Ar Sameach on Hilcha Shabbos, which is a classic, sefer on the Rambam. So, in a piece here on Hilcha Shabbos, Perek Gimel Halacha Yud, he's talking about the halachas of cooking or hatman and chazar. Anyway, he comes around and he says, "Veda de nira barur." To me, it's clear. The zareya v'noteya b'shabbos chayiv. One who plants something at Shabbos, the zareya, put down seeds, or you put down you stick a plant into the ground which could grow. After klitasim b'chol, he's chayiv even though it only takes root. It only takes after Shabbos is over. He's chayiv for putting ukeman de mancha b'kad de dami. Once you put it there, it's finished, you did what you had to do, and you're chayiv. Vadai de'ena klita me'etzem achiyuv. V'imba lahotzi hazroim mitoch hakarka. If a person would take the zroim out of the karka, terem sheniklatu, chayiv. Even if he would take them out of the ground before they take root, he's already chayiv. It's too late. De'kein havi meleches hazriya. Shehu tomein bekarka. Just the fact that he puts into the ground, mili de'ovid l'tzmuchi peyre. Something which is destined, without, if there's no interference, it's destined to grow. And he brings mefurish arayas from Gemaras that the Gemara considers to be zriya without hashrasha. Zriya planting does not require hashrasha, doesn't require taking root. Just being one of his arayas he brings from the Toras Kohenim that says, Minayin, from where do we know lizroim tmeim shezraon tiaru? How do we know? Let's say you have seeds which are tummy. They came in contact with the mace and they're tummy. You put them to the ground, they become tahar. How do we know that zriya is metar them? The pas tamalomar asher yizarea. From a pasuk. Yachal afal pishlo shrishu. I might think even if they didn't take root, they're already tahar. Tamalomar who? So the pasuk, no, it's a meat on the pasuk. Hare de Zoreya, havi blo hashrasha. Thais, apparently, Zoreya doesn't require hashrasha. Because the Gemara says, Zaran, Taru, maybe even lo shrisha? No, tamala mahu. But the Zaran and his shrisha are two separate things. So he says, the Gabi Shabbos, therefore, you chayef Zoreya, not for hashrasha. You did Zoreya, you finished, that's it, chayef. You take him out afterwards, it's all over. It doesn't make a difference. All of a meaning. That doesn't help you. It doesn't help you to take it out. And it's also very interesting, this in the Har Tzvi, later than the Ar Sameach, the Har Tzvi in Shabbos, first chayil of the Shabbos, has two tshuvas in a row on this topic in Simen Kuf Chav Ches and Kuf Chav Tes, where he goes in, he brings the Rishash, and he goes into this whole sugya, And he holds that, no, like he holds like the Sameach and like the Halachas Ketanus, he holds that it doesn't make a difference if you take him out of the ground. Once you put him in the ground, the Yechayiv is a Rei. And he has a very interesting Chuvas in this. Okay, so, big Shalom Poskim, whether that makes a difference, whether taking him out afterwards makes a difference. Not, obviously, the, that it's us to do it. The only question is, would you salvage anything by taking it out or not?
According to the Rishash, is there any case where someone bechayv mizriya on Shabbos? Is there a case like that?
Well, when you say on Shabbos, meaning it can never be completed on Shabbos, but it can never be completed on Shabbos.
But it's
because of what he did on Shabbos.
Right. And no one holds that if the actual, I forgot the term, was the Hashrasha, that no one holds that in itself is.
Has to.
Right. So like, let's say someone plants and it's before Shabbos, and then it takes root on Shabbos.
No, for sure not. Right. In other words, that's really, I think, how the Sameach gets into the whole topic. I mean, he's talking about like cooking. If you put something up to cook before Shabbos and it cooks on Shabbos, so leaving out the Rabbanans that we, about needing a blech and different things, they're the Rabbanan. But Meikar Adin, Midaraisa, you put something up to cook before Shabbos and then it cooks on Shabbos, is fine. You didn't do, you certainly didn't do any malacha, right? That's Shabbos. Right, okay, at least according to Beis Hillel, there's a Shitas Beis Shammai holds that there's an Indian of Shvisas Kalim, that even your Kalim can't do Malach on Shabbos. Not just you can't, and your animals can't, but even your Kalim, which means you can't allow someone else, a guy, to use your Kalim on Shabbos to do Malach with it. Nor could you set a Kalim before Shabbos to work on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks Akasha, going to Beis Hillel, but going to Beis Shammai, how do you ever have a chalpat? Basically, it's asking, use the chalpat. How do you ever set up a chalpat? And it's it's cooking and shabbat. Because even after the Xeris Rabban, even after you need roof, you need a blech and everything, but you could still have something cooking on Shabbos. So, according to Beis Shammai, how's the chayach? The pot is cooking the food on Shabbos. Or the Gemara asks about beer. Apparently, beer making took at least 8 days. So you always had to have a Shabbos in there. It was impossible to do without a Shabbos. And so the Gemara says the Chazal were mafker the Kalim. Because in the case, things that must be done over Shabbos, things that can't be done without Shabbos, you need it for Shabbos, or the only way to do it is over Shabbos. So Chazal will mafker the kelim, so you don't own that kelim. Okay, but other than that, if you put up something to cook before Shabbos, you put up something, you plant something before Shabbos, or we know there's no Shvisas kelim, you turn on an air conditioner before Shabbos, and it's doing its thing over Shabbos, you set an alarm clock for Shabbos, all these things are okay, even though Malach is going to happen on Shabbos. The same thing, the taxes grow on Shabbos. And now, as I'm speaking, reminding me, this famous discussion about not cutting one's nails 3 days before Shabbos, right? So one of the reasons brought is because they begin to grow on Shabbos. And Shaila is that simply just like it's not covered Shabbos because they don't, or is there an Indian of Ki'ilu, like you cause growth, the growth in Shabbos? But Halacha L'maaseh doesn't play a major role anyway in what we do, because you're supposed to cut your nails as close to Shabbos as you can regardless. Okay, so now, in any case, you're definitely not allowed to scatter seeds on the soil on Shabbos. And for that reason, it's brought that it's preferable that a person not eat outside on Shabbos. Because if you eat outside on Shabbos over a dirt floor or grass, whatever, it's very possible that you'll end up either pouring out some liquids onto the grass, which is a form of zoreya, because zoreya is not just putting down the seeds, but zoreya includes also doing anything to enhance the growth, right? So pouring water onto stuff that's growing is an iser of zoreya, and therefore that's definitely usher to pour it. And also, if you're eating fruits or vegetables which have seeds, it's very shaykh that you'll end up dropping seeds onto the ground. So the Rama says, this is in Siman Shin Lamed Vav, in Siv Gimel, the Rama says, V'lachein tov lahachmir. it is proper for one to be machmer shelo lechol beginos, not to eat in baganos, or not to eat in places where shelo lechol beginos, not to eat in places where things are planted. If you're using water, it's very hard to be careful that no water should fall there. So he only mentions water, but when the post can talk about other things, like I said, like seeds as well. So it's not an iser to eat there, but it's a recommendation. It's a preference not to eat outside on Shabbos for this reason. One second. Okay, in any case, but if you do eat outside, you definitely have to be careful, first of all, not to wash. You're washing for bread. Can't wash over the ground. Can't wash onto the... And even if it's not your gina. They talk about a gina. Gina is a place that was specifically made for, or specifically designated for, to grow stuff. So, even if it's not your gina, and even if you're not intending, you're just washing, you're not intending to water anything, but like we discussed the whole idea of psikresha, it's at least a psikresha, and it's a psikresha, at least a psikresha lo nichala, even if it's a place that nobody cares, you don't care if anything, let's say it's just a place where the grass grows randomly and nobody cares about it, but even so, it's a psikresha, at least a psikresha lo nichala of growth, and you're not allowed to do it. And a person also has to be careful. Sometimes you have these systems where a sink that's not properly doesn't have proper drainage, so it doesn't have the pipes which lead out to to a sewer system or something, but it drains onto right out onto your backyard or something. So certainly by more primitive arrangements like a sukkah sink, where could easily be set up that way if one's not careful, or in general, even there are places where the as I said, the plumbing system or is not fully developed, whatever it is, and at the end it just drains out onto grass. So that's a problem. Now there may be a certain point where it is so indirect, where the water doesn't go directly down a pipe straight onto the grass, but it goes and it makes a few twists and turns and circles or whatever it is, so that it may no longer be considered your koach. Right, because the whole thing, it really is grumma, right? If you wash in a sink, I'm not talking about washing straight over the grass. You wash in a sink, and the water goes down a pipe, and then it drains out onto the grass. There really is, that is also a grumma, right? It's not a direct maisa. It's just you're causing it to go there, and nonetheless, if it's direct, it's a problem. But what I'm saying is, if it's very indirect. Very indirect, it may already be considered koach sheni, which might not be usher. However, it's definitely not something to get involved in the chatchila, and one should definitely see to it that he doesn't have that situation, whether it's by the sukkah or maybe his laundry room or whatever it may be. And a similar problem that arises is on Sukkos, if a person puts a shlach, a covering over his schach, which he puts up when it rains. And okay, it rained, and he comes out to use the sukkah, the rain stopped, he wants to use the sukkah, so he has to take off the shlach, he can't eat with the shlach on, but it's full of water. The shlach itself is some sort of tarp or something, which the water doesn't, or some of the water maybe gets deflected right away, but plenty of the water pools on the tarp. And now you have to fold back the top or roll back the tarp so that you get in the sukkah. And when you do that, the water is going to go splashing down. So if your sukkah is over in a grassy area or in a dirt area where things grow, then you have a big issue here. Then, a big issue of Zoria, how are you allowed to do that? So there too, you have to try to set it up in a way that the water will at least not go directly onto the grass. Ravida brings in a sefer from Ramosha that if the water goes onto something else, if it goes onto concrete, and from the concrete it rolls onto the grass, then that would be mutter for tzarech mitzvah for the sukkah. That would be a level of grumma. That would be again grumma when you're doing it that way. If you do it directly, if you just pull back the tarp, or and you basically splash the water off directly onto the grass, that's not grama, that's a ma'aseh b'yadayim. But if you do it in a way that it's not going to go directly onto the grass, it's going to go down onto the concrete which surrounds your sukkah, or one side of your sukkah, and you make sure to have the water fall off on that side and goes on to the concrete, even if it then rolls onto the grass. So that Ramesh said was mutter to do, because
this one has like an AC unit in a room, and it's like sticking out, but like leaks sometimes, and on the outside it's like grass.
But when did he set it up? He turned on the AC before Shabbos, right?
You're saying as long as the thing, but I'm saying even if it's on a timer, let's say it starts off.
Doesn't make a difference, because just like the timer is allowed to turn the machine on,
right,
it's
right,
also
right.
So the fact that it's gonna, you just have to be careful not to move it. If the pipe is down on the grass, not to move it from the grass, or not to move it from one place to another. Same thing if a person has a sprinkler system. So you're allowed to turn a sprinkler system before Shabbos, especially when it's nicker and yadua that people do this, where nobody's gonna be choshed you. When they first came up with these sprinklers that are embedded in the grass, and they didn't have a computer, a timer that turns it on and off, then it was a big issue, because it wasn't widespread yet. And a person has it, somebody walks by his grass on Shabbos and sees it water, sees it wet and everything, you could think that he turned it on Shabbos. But by now I think it's pretty well known that these things are.
You can have your automatic sprinkler go on Shabbos.
Yeah, because malacha wise, you're doing nothing. The only shaila is, like I said, is ready marasayim, but by now I don't believe there's any marasayim in that, because it's very, very, very common.
So why isn't like a dryer that's like
confused around? Because the problem with the dryer is that if something that makes noise is a separate, is this makes area of called.
Makes noise.
Yeah, okay, everything makes noise. But we don't mean that noise, we mean, much louder noise. Like a dryer noise.
With the tarp on the sukkah, if there was water collected on there, would it matter if the ground was totally saturated already?
Very good. So many say that does make a difference. If when you came out, it just stopped raining a short time ago, and like you said, the ground is had enough to drink. The ground is plenty full of water. The water you put on is not going to add. So many say that is mutter to do with that. But the thing is that's not always the case. So sometimes, it rained overnight, and then by the like in Miami, right? Rains over, often it rains during the night. Baruch Hashem, the sukkahs didn't rain one night. I don't know if you noticed, not one night it did rain, Baruch Hashem. But often it does, and so you come out in the morning, you come out to your suit, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. It hasn't rained in hours, and it could be the grasses. But then in Miami, it's the sun's shining and the grass is plenty dry. So. That's when you have this issue. But anyway, so I just want to say with the sprinkler that if it's broad, you're allowed to turn a sprinkler off, not electronically or computer, but just manually, like you could turn a faucet to turn off the water that's coming in your sink. You could turn off a sprinkler too. If the sprinkler is sprinkling over the grass, and you're allowed to turn it off, and you're not allowed to turn it on Shabbos, or you're not allowed to move the sprinkler to the grass on Shabbos, but you're allowed to turn it off. But the point that Chazanish points out, again, Rabbi Adabriz is in a sefer, that you have to be careful how the system works. If it's a system where you, like, when you turn it down, you shut off some of the valves first, and then the water pressure intensifies in the other areas and ends up reaching more areas, then that's a problem. Because by turning it off here, it's like a shower, right? You have to take a shower, and someone else in the house is taking a shower, and then they change the water, they turn on the hot water, and all of a sudden you get freezing cold because... They use some of the hot water in their showers, and now your shower, the temperature's changed. And then they shut it, and then you get all of a sudden you get a shock of water. So if it's a grass on Shabbos, then that's a problem that you're causing other areas of the grass to get water, or to get more water. Or even I think you could have it even if you just have it just. It's just one unit, which is one valve. It's not different things, but when you close it, the water is going out. Let's say it's arcing, to a certain point. Then as you close it, it starts getting, less and less. So that also can be a problem. Now you are causing the water to go onto other areas. So these are things you have to plan it out in advance. I mean, nowadays with the electronic things, it's nobody's turning on and off anyone on Shabbos. You said it before Shabbos, but those are all considerations. You have to make sure not to directly or even sort of indirectly, but cause water to go onto grass on Shabbos. whether it's your grass or anybody else's grass. Okay, we gotta hold it here. Thank you very much.